From Ballymoney in County Antrim, we present Let the Bible Speak. It's good to have you with us today as we spend 15 minutes around the Word of God, preaching Christ in all His fullness to men and women in all their need. And this is Leslie Curran saying hello once again and welcome to the program. I'm delighted you're tuning in and joining us, and I do hope you'll be able to stay with us for the next 15 minutes, as today the Reverend Philip Gardner is with us to Let the Bible Speak.
I want to read some words today from the end of Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9, reading from the verse 35. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted, and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. We will end our reading there, and we trust the Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his own word. At various times during our Lord's ministry, great crowds thronged after him. While this was not the case at every point of his ministry, yet it was certainly true in Matthew chapter 9. During this particular part of the Saviour's ministry, he was actively moving through Galilee, and his actions unsurprisingly had grabbed the attention of the public. In verse 35 we read that he had been teaching and preaching the gospel. He was a wise and gracious Saviour, the greatest teacher of all. But then we also read that he had been healing. He was a Saviour that was showing his great power. On account of his teaching ministry and these miracles, the crowds were thronging after him. In no way did the Lord see this as an expression of popularity. Rather, his heart was greatly touched by their presence. As the Lord gazed upon the people, he saw that they were like sheep that were scattered from the fold. They were out on the mountains defenceless and in danger. We read then that he had compassion upon them. We who know the Lord as Saviour have indeed discovered that he is a compassionate Saviour, one who is touched with the very feeling of our infirmity. The Lord does not dismiss our suffering, rather he is moved by it. As our elder brother, he took human flesh, not only that he might die for us, but that he might sympathise with us. But the Lord not only deals compassionately towards his own people, but as he looks over the throng of humanity, and looks over the lost, the Lord looks at them with compassion, as sheep without a shepherd. Those words ought to challenge the Christian today. Do I look upon the lost as the Saviour looked on them? Is that how we view our loved ones, our children, our neighbours who are not yet saved? Do we look with compassion on the lost? We read in the verse 36, But when he saw the multitudes, the Lord took that time to gaze upon them. And so the Lord challengingly said to his disciples, Lift up your eyes and look. If we have no compassion upon the lost, evidently we have not taken the time to stop and to look. Today I want us to consider having compassion on the lost sheep. I want us to see first of all the force of this compassion. Apparently this word compassion is a word that was not used in secular Greek writing. It is said that this word was first used in the Gospels, describing a compassion the extent of which the world had never seen until that time. This particular word compassion in the Greek actually bears out the idea of a yearning in the bowels. We must remember that different cultures have different expressions that are unique to them. So today when we speak of intense love, we would likely refer to the heart I love you with all my heart. That sounds normal to us in the West. But the Hebrews spoke of the yearning of the bowels. The reference was to what we might call the gut or the insides. Today we might not think it would be very romantic to say, I love you with all my bowels, but that was a suitable form of expression to the Hebrews. In Song of Solomon 5 and the verse 4, my beloved put in his hand by the hole of the door, and my bowels were moved for him. So the bride had that great longing within herself to be near unto her lover. While this idea of a yearning in the bowels may at first seem odd to us, there are in fact times when this is our experience. Many people, when they are very afraid or very nervous, when they are very concerned, will feel unwell in the stomach. The worry, the fear, the nervousness causes this movement, as it were, in the inside. But I want you to notice this. When the Saviour looked in the multitudes, that was how it was with him. He was moved with compassion. It was as if he felt unwell on account of the great compassion he had for them. Dear Christian, is that the compassion you have today? When you see the crowd walking down the street, and you think of the reality that many amongst them know not Christ as Saviour, are you deeply burdened concerning them? The story is told of a young man by the name of Burns. He later became a mighty servant of the Lord. But as a young man, he was walking down the street in Scotland, hand in hand with his mother. As she was looking into the shop window, he began to weep. When the mother asked what the matter with her boy was, he began to say, "Can you not hear the tramp, tramp, tramp of Christless souls into eternity?" That young man had compassion. The reality that he saw Christless souls on their way to hell ought to be one that stirs God's people every day. So we have seen the force of this compassion. I want to see, secondly, the focus of the compassion. As the Lord looked upon the people, he saw them as sheep that fainted. He saw them as sheep that were scattered. The image here is of sheep that have been driven from the sheepfold. When sheep are filled with fear, perhaps on account of a wild animal coming into the field, the sheep will scatter in every direction. So then the enemy, as it were, has come to the fold. The sheep have been scattered. On account of running from the enemy, they have been weary. Some may even have been torn and abused by the enemy. But in their time of great need, there is no shepherd for the sheep. In fact, those who first claimed to be the sheep actually turned out to be the enemies, the cause of the problem. The Jewish leaders ought to have been the shepherds, but they were false. They had no true love for the people. In fact, they had wounded them. So as the Lord looked upon the people as sheep, he saw them in a pitiful state. They were burdened down by rituals, by rules, and by rites. The people in Israel at the time of Christ were seeking to gain salvation by the works of the law, but all the time the law was condemning them. And while they were hungering and thirsting for truth, the religious leaders couldn't teach them aright. They carried no authority. The sheep were also in a perilous state. Having been scattered, they were prey for the enemy. In Ezekiel 34 in the verse 5 we read, they were scattered because there is no shepherd, and they became meat to all the beasts of the field when they were scattered. So then the Jewish people, having been scattered as it were by the Jewish leaders, were now open to further abuse. Perhaps today as you listen to this program, you are one of those sheep that is out on the mountain without the shepherd. You are certainly in a pitiful state. Perhaps you have been seeking to find salvation in your own effort or by being a good person. The more you've tried, the more distant it seems. Certainly if you are without Jesus Christ as your shepherd, you're in a perilous state. You are a prey for the enemy of your soul, the prey of the devil. Today your great need then is that you would be brought into the fold of the one true and the one great shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. The entrance to his fold is not by being a better person. It is not by being more religious. but the entrance is by coming the way of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He laid down his life for the sheep. Today would you not turn to the one who is indeed that great shepherd? So we have seen the force of this compassion, the focus of the compassion. I want to see finally the fruit of the compassion. One of the interesting things about this word compassion is that when we read it in the Bible, it is always followed by action. Compassion, therefore, is something much greater than sympathy. There are times when we hear very sad news on the television or on the radio. Some family has been affected by a particular tragedy, but we don't know the family. Certainly our hearts may be filled with sympathy for them, but having thought on them for a moment or two, then we go on about our business. Compassion is something much greater than that. Compassion results in action. In Matthew 20, Christ had compassion on two blind men, so he healed them. He opened their eyes. In Mark 1, verse 41, he had compassion on a man with leprosy, so he cleansed him. What did the Lord do in this particular chapter, Matthew 9, when he looked with compassion upon the multitudes? The Lord brought to the attention of his disciples that the answer to the great need of the multitude is this: laborers. Pray ye therefore that the Lord of the harvest would send forth laborers into the harvest. When we see the lost, our prayer is not merely to be for their salvation, although that is a good prayer. We are to pray that laborers would be sent to reach them. There is great practical value in that. You see, we could pray for some individual we know who is not saved to be saved. We could pray for them for years, and it is good to pray to that end. But it is something very different to pray, Lord, send somebody to speak to that person. The distinction is this: sooner rather than later, if I pray, send somebody to speak to that person, I will come to realize that I have a duty to go and to speak to them. So as the Lord said, pray that the Lord would send forth laborers. In the next chapter, the Lord sent the disciples. As they prayed to this end, the Lord sent them. Perhaps, dear Christian, the Lord has touched your heart to pray for some needy one. Begin to pray that the Lord would send forth a laborer, and be willing that the Lord would have you to go and to reach them with the gospel. Someone said, let me look in the crowd as my Saviour did, till my eyes with tears grow dim. Let me view with pity the wandering sheep, and love them for the love of Him. We trust the Lord will bless these thoughts to your hearts together.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, coming from Ballymoney, County Antrim. We count it a privilege to bring the gospel of Christ to you in all its biblical fullness, and I trust you've enjoyed today's program. If you've been challenged, encouraged, or helped in any way, we'd like to hear from you. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, Ballymoney, County Antrim, BT 53 6PE. Let the Bible Speak, Ballymoney, County Antrim, BT 53 6PE. Thank you for listening today. Don't forget that we're on air here each weekday morning, Monday to Friday. So do remember to join us at this same time as we let the Bible speak.